And good afternoon and happy holidays, all listeners to BBS Radio. This is your hostess, Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. And first of all, I do want to tell you this is my second to last broadcast. So our guest today is our last guest for this show. And we're hoping that a new year will bring all that is wonderful and well to you. But just to let you know, next week I will be by myself just to say goodbye to all the lovely people who have been such good listeners for the last 3 years. And so today we have, again, Nanice Ellis. Welcome, Nanice.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm so excited to be back.
Yes, I know, and I'm so sorry to mispronounce your name. It's my fault. I just don't see clearly. Sometimes I reverse letters and stuff, and I do creative bookkeeping 101. What can I tell you? Okay, and it's wonderful. How are you this lovely holiday season?
I am fantastic. I just had my first grandchild a week ago. So,
wow. Is it boy or girl?
A little boy. His name is Alpha Bert, and he's as healthy and happy as can be.
Oh, how lovely. What did he come in at?
7 pounds, 6 ounces.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
How lovely. I know you are a very, very happy grandmother.
Yeah.
and it's always a thrill to be a new grandparent, isn't it?
Yes.
And you get to get back at your kids by spoiling them rotten. That's what I hear from all my friends. Anyway. Yes, we had talked last time about this book you wrote, Lip Prints, and you have a couple others that you've written, and you wanted to go over something in particular this time. What was it?
Well, I wanted to talk about the pledge, and the pledge is something that was actually channeled through me a few months ago, and it was an answer to this question of, you know, what are we to follow now in this world? What is the guidance that's showing us the way? And a lot of people have left traditional religions and traditional, you know, belief systems, and they're looking for something more, and they haven't found it. And the way the pledge has been presented to me, because it was channeled through me, was that answer. It was a really a step-by-step way to really become the difference that we all want to see in the world. And as a result, I created this. It's called The Pledge, and it's a four-part pledge that has to do with love and self-honoring and kindness to others and self-empowerment. And by following the pledge, you really have the keys and the secrets to creating the kind of life that you've always wanted to create. And in doing so, actually becoming the difference that you want to see in the world. It's like, it's the how-to, right?
Right, okay.
It's like peace and harmony for dummies, you know?
Yes, well,
Math
that
101
works.
For dummies, yeah. Not that anybody's a dummy, but it's just, it's very easy. And when you follow it, there's huge transformation that happens in your life just by applying these different concepts about love and self-honoring and kindness and, of course, empowerment.
Okay. And what are these lovely steps?
Sure, I can, what we can do, Phyllis, if you'd like, I can, you know, read through each part. It's about, there's about 7 pieces to each part, and then we can talk about those parts, and then I can go on to the next. Would you like that?
That sounds perfect.
Okay, awesome. I love you. You're great.
That's okay.
So let me read this little piece to tell you a little bit more about the pledge in case I didn't do a very good job. So the pledge is an agreement you make to yourself. And by committing to this agreement, you have chosen to align with your highest good and the highest good of all. The pledge is about personal and global transformation, and it's simple, yet it holds the power to transform your life and the world. And so even if just a small percentage of the world take the pledge, it will exponentially spread throughout the world, and we will see world transformation. It's really that powerful. And it's an opportunity to reform our lives and realign with what we really believe. And so the first part of it is love. And so it goes like this. I pledge allegiance to myself as I pledge allegiance to each of the following. From this day forward, I will love myself without conditions. I will allow my love for others to always be an overflow from an overabundance of my own self-love. I will accept myself exactly as I am right now. I will open my heart to the love and kindness coming from others without having to think that there is a string attached. I will love without conditions and cut the unhealthy strings and expectations I attach in all relationships. I will take down all shields that have protected my heart. I will forgive others for the harm I have perceived done to me. I will forgive myself for my attempt to protect myself from feeling hurt. I did much worse to myself than what anyone else could have ever done.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the piece about love, and it really is about opening our hearts and showing love and expressing love and about forgiveness to ourselves and to others. And by just following those few steps, uh-huh. life changes. Life changes.
Yes, it would. It would. Yes, I can understand that from all of what you said. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are very understandable and reasonable statements to be made.
Yeah. Because all we ever really want is love. You know, no matter what it seems like someone's doing, it's really they're just asking, sometimes screaming, sometimes praying for love.
Certainly.
Whether it's somebody who, you know, thinks that they're a victim, they're praying for love. If it's somebody who's mean to us, they're screaming for love. It's someone, you know, who, you know, is throwing things on us literally or figuratively. It's like they're still, they're begging for love. It's everybody's asking for love.
Yes, yes, that's very, very true. It is, and it's that lack of love which causes so much disharmony and such much distress in this world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's very, very reasonable. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, and so the other piece, a lot of...
Well, the
love piece, a lot of this is about loving yourself, because we can't really love anybody else until we love ourselves. You know, love really
That's
only happens
true.
As an overflow of self-love. So as long as somebody is, you know, like we see a lot of people, many of us experienced ourselves, that we love someone so much, but we're not feeling full inside with love. We're feeling unworthy and we're feeling unlovable, and yet we're doing everything for everyone else, and there's a point where we're just empty and drained and void. So that's not really love. When we do love out of this empty place, what really happens is we're needing for something in return. So it's like if I do something nice for someone and I'm like...
It's
a condition attached.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's like we're wanting something back from the other person. Well, I've done this great, you know, I made a great dinner for, you know, my husband or wife or whatever, and this I expect them to act a certain way. And then when they don't, you know, we're disappointed and... we feel let down, and then we close our heart. See, that's not real love. So you can only really give from fullness, from a full heart, because we don't need anything in return. Otherwise, if we need something in return, then there's an unspoken contract. And people sense this.
Sure.
And they cut off. Sure. They cut off. They shut down their hearts, and this is why we see so many relationships that are not working.
Well, I see people giving so much of themselves, and they're coming from a place of kindness. But it's a place of neediness and a fact of unworthiness and love. And what happens when they give so much of themselves to others, it's not appreciated. It is looked upon by others. Well, it's, I guess, an extenuation of the statement that you can either give a man a fish and he can eat for a day, you can teach him to fish, and he can eat for the rest of his life. And I have seen for myself when people give of themselves without being whole themselves, they give out of neediness, and this then causes resentment and anger and great deal of unkindness. And many people perceive generosity of spirit as a weakness. And because they know innately that it's wrong to take, they take and then they are selfish and then they are unhappy and then they create all sorts of misery for themselves and for others all the way down the road. So, absolutely, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So, as a matter of fact, I've been reading books on the Navajo Way, which pretty much talks about what you're saying. All great religions do, by the way, in their philosophies.
Yeah.
It's all about loving yourself first and then being peaceful and in harmony where you can help others.
Right. Right. And that which you give to others is really an overflow from your own self-love and self-honoring.
Sure. You can only give, and the only thing you can do it is by loving yourself. If you don't love yourself, you have a great hole within you and a great need. So, yes, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, beautiful said.
Yeah, so anyway, let's continue on with this concept.
Okay,
awesome. Okay, let's talk about number one, the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how would you envision people would come into harmony themselves or to bring themselves into peace?
Yeah. So it's a matter of really taking responsibility for yourself and your life. You know, many of us have been taught to shift responsibility, and it's always about, you know, the outside world. Mm-hmm. And so
separation.
So once we realize that we really are the creators of our life, not even through our perceptions, but also through our energetic patterns that we throw out into the world consciously and unconsciously, then we have the power to change things. As long as we think something's happening to us, there's nothing, we can't change anything because it's outside of our control.
The
empowerment piece has a lot to do with this too, which is later down. Mm-hmm. But when we just look at love, you know, it's a matter of turning the table, and instead of waiting for others to love us, that we start loving ourselves wherever we're at. You know, a lot of people are, I can't love myself, or I can't feel good about myself until, you know, I get that promotion, I make enough money, I lose this weight, someone loves me. But really, it's like nothing else is going to happen until you do love yourself, because the outside world reflects the inside world.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And this become with that comes this level of self-acceptance. You know, really, in accepting the self. And I don't mean like a forced acceptance. It's like, oh, I accept myself, and then you don't. But it's really, when I think of accepting oneself, what I'm really thinking of is letting love in. Because when you accept yourself, really what you're doing is you're allowing love to come in. When you don't accept yourself, you're really cutting off love and cutting off your connection to everyone, everything, including yourself.
That's absolutely right. Okay.
So it's like an opening up. The whole love process is about an opening up, you know, opening up to love, opening up to self-love, opening up to the love of coming from other people, but not because you need it, but because it's this natural flow. It's how nature works. You know, the bumblebee and the flower, you know, there's a natural rhythm that goes back and forth. They don't cut off to each other. They open themselves up to each other, and in that way, a harmony exists, and that is true for what's inside of us. And that's true for our interconnectedness with each other.
And how would you begin the step for people
to open up?
Who don't know how to love themselves?
Yeah.
How would you recommend they go about it?
Well, even starting to think about it is the first step. So if there's people out there, you know, say, oh, well, how do I do that? Just asking, how do I do that? That's the first step. But instead of letting your mind answer, as it often does, allow something greater, deeper inside of you to answer, higher power, whatever you might call that higher power. Uh-huh. And maybe it's saying something to your higher power, like, show me how I could love myself more. Or it might be, you know, how would I feel right now if I loved myself? It's kind of the backdoor approach, because we just say, I love myself. There's usually a part of us that goes, well, you can't love yourself because of this, this, and this, and this. But when you say, how would I feel if I loved myself? What happens is the ego self is relaxed, and we're suddenly trying on that feeling. And that starts to open the gateways. That starts to build new neuron cycles. That's not right. There's supposed to be connections in the brain that weren't there before. So it's a process. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight, although some people have woken up and have huge epiphanies. But it's a process. It's a process,
usually.
And to be patient with yourself. And the other thing is what I notice on this planet is that because the vibrations are raising, that it's much easier to move into this place of self-love, of, you know, I don't call it healing, I call it a return to wholeness or remembering wholeness. So the energies are really supporting us. So what might have taken decades in the past, I'm witnessing happening in weeks or months, and it's really phenomenal. And it's available there for everybody now, just by opening and being willing to try that on.
You know, one of the little techniques that I found very useful when people say, well, I don't know how to love myself, and I've heard them say this.
Yeah.
And the suggestion that I have made is that they stand in front of a mirror. You don't have to have it in front of anybody else. You could do it with the door closed if you are embarrassed. But to stand in front of a mirror and look yourself in the eyes and say to that person gazing back at you, that you love them, you love who you are becoming each and every day, and that you honor and respect that human being that you're looking into the eyes of, and you will work with them. But just saying, I love you and I love the person who you are, who I am becoming each and every day, personalize it, say it in the third person at first, or then move it to the first person, and then look at that person in the mirror with love.
Yes.
Unconditional love, just for who they are. And there can be an awakening, such as you are describing, of that is you. That is how you love yourself. If you love another person, do you not say, I love you?
Yes.
You know, I honor you. So one way of doing it is to face yourself, literally.
Absolutely.
With those very words. And I have found that that has been of assistance to people in the past.
Yes.
There are other ways, I am sure.
Yes.
But this kind of, you can't run away from yourself if you're looking at yourself straight in the face.
True.
It's very hard to deny who you are right there in your own little skinny way. That's just a thought to talk about.
I love that thought. Absolutely. That has been very effective for many people. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's also about taking action. So it's like if you make the choice, like, I am going to figure out how to love myself, you know, there's a choice there. And so you start moving on that path. And so the next part of the pledge is about self-honoring. And it goes like this. There's five parts to this one. It is, from this day forward, I will never sacrifice myself again in order to get any needs met. This means emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally. I will meet my own needs and not try to look to others to meet my needs. I will rid myself of anything that no longer fits or supports me. I will take extreme care of my body. I will create quiet alone time for myself every day, no exceptions. It is a priority. So now there's a whole set of actions that moves towards this place of self-love. You know, so now it's not just words. Now it's being supported with actions, and that makes a huge difference. And sometimes those actions, you know, they feel like, well, I don't really feel worthy of this. I don't feel, but the more you do it, in addition with, you know, things like looking in the mirror and telling yourself you love yourself, after a while, it starts to become a new pattern or a new program in you, and it's not a struggle anymore. But it's not leading to it.
Right. And the other thing I would say, you know, as a recovering Catholic, as I call myself, it's against the grain from our teachings to be selfless. And it's very hard because we are taught that with the lack of understanding that it has been in the past, not now necessarily, mind you, but in the past, that to do this would be very selfish. It's against also the training and ritual that women have where we come last, where everybody else comes first. So you're working against a very strong taboo or traditional, cultural, whatever, situation.
Right.
My thinking is, on something along these lines, would be to promise to do something for yourself that's little, okay, that's not something you would normally do, like allow yourself to have a gift you wouldn't normally buy yourself, something very, very small, baby steps is what I'm thinking of, into the new life, something like getting scented candles that you want, or just buying a little perfume or whatever at the store, something that you normally would say, no, this money could be used for somebody else. This could be for whomever it is, or decide, I will sacrifice, or give yourself a smaller piece of a dessert or something like that and say, no, I deserve the equal half, or I deserve to be served first rather than take what's left over.
Right.
Oddly enough, these are very difficult steps to take when you are going against a culture that's gone down through how many centuries? So that's
one
a thought.
Time.
That's a thought.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, it's small steps. It doesn't have to be huge. Small steps because they add up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And remember to compliment yourself each day, saying, I did a good job. And allow yourself to say that you are worthy and deserving of what you have received in life and of all the good that there is.
Yes.
And not to think that you are unworthy. That is one of the most difficult things to overcome is the lack of worthiness.
Yes.
So, again, little steps, tiny steps, make a big difference, as you mentioned.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
A little bit, step by step, that brings about life.
Yes. Yeah, I love that you brought up worthiness because this is really a huge piece. It's about worthiness. It's all about worthiness. And what's interesting is that worthiness is intrinsic. There's nothing that we can do to prove our worthiness. The idea of having to prove something in which we already are is really ridiculous. You know, it'd be like, my dog has to prove that he's a dog, or my cat has to prove that, you know, she's a cat.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
But this has been inculcated. You know that after centuries. That we are not worthy and deserving. So it's very it's as I said, as a Catholic, it's beaten that you're not worthy, you're not deserving. And so you get to beat yourself over the head with it because that's selfish, that's egotistical, that it isn't. It's life-affirming, and it is a part of the very fabric of the beingness of the spiritual self who exists inside one's skin.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're absolutely right. It is absolutely important to be feeling that way about yourself.
Yeah. So as you're saying, worthiness is it's really natural, intrinsic, and society and our systems and our systematic programs have actually taught it's not to be worthy, and it has to do with our education system. If we just look at our education system, for example, as soon as we start school, we're told and trained that there's success and failure, there's good, there's bad, there's right, there's wrong, and there's worthy and there's unworthiness. So by the time we get out of school, we have been well programmed that in order to survive or succeed in school, that we need to meet certain conditions that have been implied by the outside world. Otherwise, we're not going to succeed and our survival's at risk. So this is why we all live with this sense of unworthiness and don't even know why. And you know, it's hard for a lot of people to imagine it being another way, but it really can be. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be right and wrong, good and bad, deserving, not deserving, failure, success. It's not really meant to be that way. What it's really meant to be, so to speak, is us all working together, that we all are, you know, equal and glorious. And, you know, we're individual, but yet we're one at the same time, where we can express our uniqueness and build upon each other's success for each other. And, and that's really what the kind of world that we're moving into, and that's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. So go on to the next one, then. The next
I think we have a great segue. Yeah, kindness. Kindness. Yes, from this day forward, I will perform at least one act of kindness each day without the need for anything in return. I will experience gratitude for everyone and everything in my life, fully knowing that even the challenging people and experiences are gifts to me and support me in my highest good. I will smile like it is the biggest gift I have to give. It is. I will make new friends wherever I go. I will brighten someone's day every day. I will tell the people I love you, and stop assuming they already know.
Again, I would say start the kindness with yourself.
Yes, of course.
Okay, because it's very, very difficult for us to accept kindness from ourselves. And I know that's sad, but we are often unkind to ourselves. We are judgmental. We are critical of ourselves. We always feel that we should, I guess, be more, I don't know quite what the word is I'm trying to say, but I know that very often we do not believe we are worthy and deserving of kindness, and we forget, while being kind to other people, while giving to other people, again, we forget that critical point of being kind to yourself. And to compliment yourself. And even if others do not compliment you, tell yourself you've done a good job if you have done a good job. It's okay to pat yourself on your back. You will not break your arm in doing so. It's all right to love oneself. And again, as you said, from the love of self comes other gifts, but the kindness to self brings kindness to others. As we do unto others as we would want them to do unto us. And so we treat ourselves the way we would like others to treat us. And you know what happens? As we treat ourselves kindly, we do indeed get treated kindly by others. And it's funny how that works, because if you don't respect yourself, who do you expect to respect you?
Right.
So again, it begins with the beginning of one's own self turned inward. I love it. I love what you're saying.
Thank
I think
you.
It's great.
Thank you.
Okay, and what else? Go on to the other one now. This is great. This is so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much. That's awesome. Okay, so the last one is personal power, and this is the longest one of the four. And this is how it goes. From this day forward, I will approve of myself no matter where I am in life. I will hold my head high and honor myself in every way, every day for the rest of my life. I will listen to my heart over my head and find a place that they can both live together in harmony. I will speak my truth and always think for myself. I will never give my power away to anyone at any time. Mm-hmm. I will carve my own path in life and not just follow another because it seems easier. It is not. I will uncover my creativity and allow myself to be vulnerable by creating through whatever form interests me. I will do what I say I will do and not say I will do something when I really don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I will be more childlike every day, sing, dance, and have fun. I will make a list of everything I want to experience in my life and one by one create the experience. I will be at choice in every area of my life. I will take complete responsibility without shame or self-blame for every experience, relationship, and challenge in my life. And finally, I pledge to dream bigger and bolder every day, and as I consistently take inspired action in the direction of my dreams, I know that the universe is conspiring to make my dreams a reality. I pledge.
Now let's go to the first or second sentence of that, shall we? Because you had to cover a lot of territory in that one.
Yes, a lot in there.
Let's go back.
So the first two, the first one was, I will approve of myself no matter where I am in life. And the second one is, I will hold my head high and honor myself in every way, every day, for the rest of my life.
Okay, and that is a very difficult one, because that's where you run into people being critical of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you run into people being rushing to judgment and being judgmental. And it is extremely difficult sometimes to get past that one little stake, because we are already fragile, as you know, as we move forward in the beauty of who we really are. But you have to be willing to look at other people with what I call compassionate eyes. When you see somebody being what I call a jerk, or a jackass, or any animal in between, because those animals are really brilliant animals, it's understanding that they are coming from a place where there is unhappiness within them, or they wouldn't be acting that way.
Right.
Very often the person who is acting as though they're superior has at their heart an inferiority complex. Many people who set themselves up do so because they are afraid that they are not what they think they are, and so they project a false persona, as I call it, to bolster themselves. And when you look at people like that, I'm going to suggest that you look at them with a kind heart and say, that person must really not feel good about who they are inside, else they would not put on such airs, because people who are truly wonderfully secure and brilliant don't do that. They have no need to. They are not judgmental. They are not unkind. And they are not patronizing.
Yes.
And we don't learn that lesson. We are always, we unfortunately buy into their illusion or delusion, as you might want to call it, that they think themselves greater, but they are not. There is no one greater than you, nor yet no one lesser than you. So if you put yourself in there, I think it's going to be easier to deal with unkindness and to be kind to yourself and to treat others as you would like to be treated. And you know, after a while, people start treating you more like you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And as you treat them more as though you wish to be treated, it's, as you mentioned very strongly, it starts around going, we used to call a round robin, but it starts around going where it just goes back and forth, and as it does, it gets stronger and stronger with the beauty of the kindness. And then it becomes habit, which is wonderful.
Right. Exactly.
Would you care to build on that?
Oh, yeah. It's about being the change you want to see in the world. That's
yes.
it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's like as it's in us and we live it, it spreads to other people. And, yeah, it's like a positive domino effect. It's contagious. It's contagious.
Yes, it is. That's a good word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
and
does.
Before we know it, our world is transformed. The world is transformed. We really can make that much of a difference in the world, and it starts with us. We can't do anything to control the outside world, no matter how it seems, but we certainly can make choices within ourselves and you know, heal the old wounds, which are really misbeliefs, disempowering beliefs.
Yes.
We can own our power and love ourselves and, you know, give kindness to ourselves and to others, and And in becoming that difference we want to see in the world, we shed it, spread it, and allow it to ripple out to others. And that's how we transform the world.
A little bit at a time, and one person at a time, and the individual at a time. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are glorious words to live by.
Thank you.
And how you say they were channeled and revealed. Tell us a little more about that. I think that's... And by the way,
Phyllis...
Okay, let me... That's okay, dear. Sometimes I talk a wee bit too fast.
I'm used to it.
But anyway, let me give a number to call in. 1-888-815-9756. If there's something that you'd like to add to this or questions you'd like to ask, Nanice, then please do call in. I think it would be a wonderful gift for you to give yourself for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was saying is I forgot. After all that, I forgot. Why? Must be old age creeping in or else, you know. But basically what I was going to say is how did you channel? Did this come about? You said it was channeled. Talk to us about your channeling background.
Yes. Sure. Well, whatever I write, I've done 7 books and have a couple more in the works. It's really channeled material. And what that means to me is that I'm just suddenly inspired. So I'm not thinking, oh, I want to write a book, or I have to write a book about this. That doesn't work. I just wait for it to come, and when it comes, it just floods through me and keeps going until it's done. And the pledge was one of those things. It was just suddenly, it was there, and the words just came through me, and this is pretty much as it came through. In fact, I think it's exactly how it came through, except maybe a little punctuation I had to add, you know. But,
I know that. They don't spell real well, and they don't have good punctuation. I don't know. They don't go to school, apparently.
I know.
At least not our
whatever. That's okay. So this is really how it came through. And, you know, when I sat back and I really analyzed it, it's just so beautiful and profound, and I was directed to share it with the world and call it the pledge. And in so doing, I put it on my website. So anybody can go to my website at nanice.com. That's nanice.com. And once you're there, you'll hit the homepage there, and then you'll just look for a link on the right. It's red, and it says take the pledge, and you'll go there, and then you can read about the pledge. And I'm soon going to have a little audio on there too to tell people a little bit more about the pledge in my voice. So actually, it's going to be a video. But anyway, after you go through the take the pledge, you'll see you put your information in, your name and email address. And what will happen is once you submit I take the pledge, you're going to get a certificate that's going to appear on the screen. And you can actually print it out and put it on your wall. And it's a certificate that says that you took the pledge. And it's really awesome because it's a reminder.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's a reminder.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's really great.
And then spread the pledge. Spread it to all your friends and family. And the more people who find the pledge and take the pledge, the more people we're affecting. You know, it's the ripple effect is just going out into that world. And it's pretty amazing. So the pledge is just a vehicle to do that, a vehicle to spread the change that you are and want to continue being in the world.
Well, I think that's a beautiful thought.
Thank you.
That is really lovely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And do you have any words of wisdom to share for the new coming decade, which is good Lord, it's hard to think that we're in a new decade, let alone a new century already.
I know.
I'm still trying to cope with that fact, you know?
I know, me too. Time keeps moving
amazing.
So fast, doesn't it?
I keep wanting to put a lasso on it and slow it down, but it doesn't work that way, accordingly.
I've tried.
It doesn't work that way. I've tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you gotten any channeling for what's going to be in for the coming new year, what's going to happen with people, anything like that?
Yeah. I believe that things are going to become even more accelerated. This is what I've been shown. And that, you know, we've all experienced this acceleration, as we were just talking about the time. But it's not just the time. It's about clearing issues out and people letting go what doesn't work for them anymore and relationships either ending or healing, even new relationships coming together. This is the time of transformation. You know, it's the age of enlightenment. And what does that mean? In light, that we're moving into the light. And as we move into the light, that means the darkness suddenly becomes light. And so it might mean that secrets that have been in our families or in our societies or have been in the world are revealed to us. And that can be kind of shocking. And
Yeah.
But the important thing to know is that as they're revealed, that's actually good news, because then we know we have a greater understanding of our past and our history, and we can make new and better and more powerful choices. So when those things do come to the surface, whether they're within ourselves, because all memories might come, or they're within our families or within our governments or the world, just to look at them with compassion and kindness and forgiveness. And once we arrive at that place of true forgiveness, you know, the next step is gratitude, because, you know, we got to where we are, and everything was important. Every little nuance and every little step. And in that space of compassion and gratitude, that's where the transformation really happens in ourselves and in the world. I think that we are just at the brink, the edge of amazing, miraculous transformation. Uh-huh. I think it's upon us, and it's so exciting.
Well, it's going to be a doozy.
Yes.
It's going to be a real doozy.
What do you think 2010 brings?
Well, I think it's going to bring more upheaval for many people, but I think also there are those who have grown spiritually and who are moving into the fifth dimension, the higher phase. It's going to be easier for some people and harder for others, depending on whether you're moving forward or trying to retain the old paradigm, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think there's a movement to, and I feel there's a shift into people moving into another dimension. It would be, you know, it would be the difference between people who were in the cave times and, or even 200 or 300 years ago, trying to live in today's world. They would find it almost impossible to do so. Because of the dramatic change in thought process, in everyday living, even in the way they perceive things, because they're going to have to change.
Right.
And some people change more easily than others. There are those who hold on kicking and screaming to the past because they fear that which is coming. And it's not scary. It's just different, I think, is what I'm trying to say. And that's what I see is coming. I think there's going to be a lot of shaking up of the old thought processes. I've been seeing for a long time, it's very hard, as you mentioned, to hide the past. It's just too much openness. It's just too much information coming in, being spread too quickly to the people. I think what I'm becoming aware of is more people are going to become aware of the attempt to manipulate information and get people to think non-individually, but as en masse. And I think that's not going to pass. I think people have, too many people have grown beyond mass thought and are into individual thought. And the more individual person becomes, of course, the less you can control them or manipulate them or get them to do what you should not be done.
Yeah.
So that is my thought. I don't know if that goes along with what you had coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that people are going to wake up and just be shocked on how manipulated we have all been for so long.
I'm seeing it more and more.
It's really, the more I learn, the more I awaken to, I can't believe I ever didn't notice it before. once you wake up, you can't help but notice it. It's like,
It's like being blind and now you can see.
Exactly.
And I guess what I'm shocked at is the continued attempt to, you know, and the lack of respect for the human being that is shown. It's as though people don't understand that the change has come and it's being done the same old, and it's not going to last a lot longer. I also see that we are in almost a divided world. Do you see that?
Yeah.
There's a separation of people.
I have a question for you. Because I see that too. What do you, like, how would you explain the living in the fifth dimension? Like, how does somebody know that they're living in the fifth dimension versus?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, part of what you're talking about, the spiritual growth, that's living in the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
That's reality. That's what it should be. And as you move more into a higher spiritual plane, you see a division, but you see the difference, but it's not a division. Let me make it that way. Does that make sense?
Right.
It's a separation, but it's not a division. There's a difference, at least in my way of thinking. And in living in the fifth dimension, we find ourselves with greater intelligence. Things are more easy. It's less people are less able to deceive us because we can see. I think there's more mental telepathy. That is what I am experiencing. I am reading minds without even trying to. I mean, I just look at a person and I can almost see what they're thinking.
Right.
And if they try not to speak the truth to me, I just almost roll my eyes and say, Lord have mercy, child, do you realize how transparent you are? And I know I can't say that, and then we have to go through this pretend that we don't see the truth, and I'm thinking, isn't that a lot of hard work? You know, too much hard work for me. I do read people's minds, and it's very disconcerting, and that's just too bad. If you don't want me to see then what you're thinking, then don't think it.
So it's like the place that I'm, because I read, that happens to me too, and it's happening for a while. And I really don't, I really have no investment on whether someone's verbally telling me the truth or not. It matters not to me. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not an investment. It just happens. You know the truth, and you just wonder, why are they doing it?
Yeah.
At least that's my thought, is why are they even bothering? Because to me, what you do is you damage your own, it's like cutting yourself when you don't tell the truth. It's like hurting yourself, and that to me doesn't make sense.
Yeah. My son Clay. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Thank you. So my son Clay, he's going to be 13 in a few weeks, and when he was younger, he was a compulsive liar. I mean, he would lie about everything.
Yes.
You know, he'd be like, you know, did you take that candy? And he'd be like, you know, be dripping down his mouth. He'd have the candy wrapper in his hand. And he'd be like, no. And there's the candy, you know, it's dripping down. And he'd be like, no. And so
what, am I blind?
And he was like, no. And so one day I said to him, Clay, you know, you can say, you know, whatever you want, but, you know, you really know the truth inside, and, you know, I know the truth, and, you know, God knows the truth, because that's what we call higher power here, God. And so, you know, I said, you can continue to say whatever you want, but, you know, the truth is known. And I never said anything after then. All of a sudden, he started telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months ago, we had his older brother got accused of doing something by another brother, and Clay walked into the room and said, wait, I did that. And so without any pressure, me, like, you have to tell the truth, and making the truth a big deal, just by saying that one thing to him that one time, he figured it out for himself. And I'll tell you that I could feel his pride and self-honor in being able to have the courage to tell the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's a great metaphor for all of us. It's a great metaphor.
Yes.
The truth really will set you free. The truth, you know, what's going on in the outside world, what's going on in the inside world, and being able to speak your truth, even if you're not sure what it is, because sometimes in the speaking of the truth, you discover a greater level of truth.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. And I wish I could say the same thing of my children, but they did not learn that lesson, even though I told them. And I would tell them, look, if you do something and you know you're going to get in trouble for it because you know you weren't supposed to do it, at least admit to it. You will be less punished. You know, you will have a lesser punishment if you just speak the truth.
Yeah.
My kids were never bright enough to figure that one out.
Yeah.
And I remember how each person is different, you know.
Yeah.
There was an incident with a young boy. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. There was an incident with a young boy.
Yeah, there was a young boy, a friend of my son's. And the boys had, I didn't want a gun in the house, and it was a BB gun.
Yeah.
And my son shot, his friend had a BB pistol. And when I came home, the two sisters told on the boys that Harold got angry with his sister and shot her with the BB gun my house. And he was angry, and he told Jimmy to shoot his sister, too.
Oh,
and so the boys shot their sister. And let me tell you, my son and I fought down the stairway with me wrestling the control. And I can tell you this very, very from personal knowledge, that you cannot take an axe to a rifle and have it work, even if it's a BB gun, because you will dislocate your shoulders. At any rate, when I was done, I was really angry, and I took both boys aside, and I told the girls to go away, because the girls were now glad that the boys got in trouble. You know how it goes.
Right.
And I just told them to go away, and then dealt with it on with the boys.
Right.
And I was not proud of my son, but I was proud of Harold, the other young man who had a very, very poor upkeeping. I told Harold, I said, well, Jimmy's going to lose his gun privileges. I said, but you're not my son. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I asked him to pretend that he was a dad and that he had two children and that the son got angry with the daughter and used the BB gun that he gave him to shoot his daughter. Now, I said, this is your daughter that's getting shot. How do you feel about your son shooting at his daughter and your daughter? And he would say, I don't like it at all. And I said, well, if you were the daddy, what would you do? And he looked at me for a minute, and he said, I would take the gun away. I said, okay. For how long would you take the gun away? And he looked at me and said, for at least a year. And I said, well, I'm very proud of you. Now, you've done this to your sister. What do you think you should do? He said, put away the gun for a year. And do you know that young man did that?
Yeah.
And my son
complained
to his father, who went out and bought him another gun, and hid the gun at a friend's house. And used it whenever he wanted. In other words, he lied, and he had somebody else go with him. But that other young boy, even though his grandfather bought him ammunition and everything else, he just told his grandfather he had promised himself to put it away because he did something wrong, and he would not, and he waited a year. Now, there is something powerful. That little boy, and I'm talking to you about somebody who was about 12 at the time. Wonderful. Wonderful child, and just a great story for those who know from within what is right and wrong and do it for the sake of being good and honoring themselves. Go ahead. You were going to say.
Oh, no, that's a beautiful story. It's really, you know, it's like I don't really punish my children. I just talk to them like you do, and I let them make their own choices. And when my kids were younger, I've seen, I found them in time out where they either put each other in time out or they put themselves in time out.
Well, you know, it would have been nice if my kids had honored that within themselves, but they didn't for the most part. And that
that's
was a shame because I'd rather talk. This is what my parents did. You know, I did the same thing when I was little, but you know, your children are different sometimes. And so they had to make choices according to their lights, and which is what they do today. But
it is.
And very occasionally did I punish my children because I never felt physical punishment was the right thing to do. Only occasionally to shock them when it was a matter of life and death, like running out in front of a car or something like that, where I wanted it so imprinted on their memory they would never do it again. Then I might give a spanking, but it's a short and brief one. And just so they'd never forget. And, you know, they never forgot again because it was a very, very limited use of punishment. But it's amazing. Sometimes what happens in life, it's just amazing. And I think it's absolutely wonderful that when we can talk to our children and have them listen, unfortunately, I think a lot of them have to go through the what I call the experiential life's experience.
I don't think it's unfortunate, though. I think it's wonderful. You know, I allow my kids to experiment and figure out who they are so they can make good choices for themselves. And
Sometimes we'd rather they not have the experience. But, you know, it's like learning to walk. You know, if you keep them from falling down, how will they know to pick themselves up? How will they know to judge? You're absolutely right. But sometimes you just stand back and let them make mistakes. That's hard. I was never really good at that. But
I've learned to do that, and I'm always there to talk with, so they know that too.
And anyway, so what else have you got that you would like to talk before the time is? Well, you know, we're almost, we've only got a few minutes. You may want to again give your number and where you can be reached and your email address and so forth.
Awesome. So my website is nanice.com, and that's N-A-N-I-C-E, or N-A-Nice.com.
And on my website, you'll find the pledge. There's a link right on the homepage there. And there's also a whole bunch of free articles and free radio show downloads and a whole bunch of stuff. Just click on articles, shows, and more. And there's also a free book to download, and it's a beautiful channel's work. It's called I Am, and that's only going to be there for a few more days. So definitely take advantage of that. And there's two free song downloads on my website as well, and they're both inspirational, transformational songs.
Nice.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, and it's designed for awakening. The whole website is designed for awakening. And if you email me, I'll put you on my inspirational email list. There's a little, in fact, there's a little sign up there, right, on that home page. And it's called Divine Inspirations, and it's a channeled message that comes a few times a week, very short and sweet, and really has been known to make a huge difference for people all over the world. So it's very profound and exciting.
Oh,
and,
lovely.
Love to hear from you. Yeah. Totally.
Oh, well, good. You all have heard that. And so what are you doing in the new year? Have you got some things, visiting someplace, or you moving forward, or
yes, so much happening. Well, I have I have a coaching school, Echo, spiritual coaching school for women of all around the world. Women from all around the world are part of the school, and we have about 30 women. And this training is going on now, and we're also doing a documentary about the Echo Coaching School and about each woman's participation in it and the difference that we are choosing to be in the world. And next fall of 2010, we're planning a humanitarian trip to South Africa. So very, very exciting. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It sounds like there's a great deal, and I wish you all the success in the world with
Thank
that.
You.
I think it's very, very lovely. And I'm hoping that all will come about well for you and that you prosper and do well in a new year and that this takes off like a rocket, as it sounds it should.
Thank you so much. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
And I hope you have a wonderful holiday and the happiest of the year. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to talking to you again maybe one day.
Absolutely.
But meanwhile, again, if y'all, those of you who want to reach her, she's given up information on her website. I guess I will have to wrap up right now, so I will thank you all for listening and look forward to talking to you again for the last time next week. And you all have a wonderful Christmas and holiday season. All of you enjoy yourselves, and we look forward to talking to you next week. You can reach me at BBS Radio, or you can reach me at area code 202-387-2080, or my website at www.psychicworlds4.com. Thank you all, and thank you, my dear, for being my guest this week.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
You.